And then in chapter 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The gift of peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. The Lord Jesus was offering peace to these disciples. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Actually, he says, in the original would be, stop letting your heart be troubled. You are troubled in your heart. You are upset. You are concerned. You are troubled that I'm going away. Well, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. I am going to go away so that I can come back to you in a more intimate and personal way than I am right now. That's what he says. That's what he's communicating to these disciples. And this Holy Spirit is the one who is going to remind them of the blessings that he has given them. The Apostle Paul says in chapter 2 and verse 12, that the Spirit that is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. That's what the Spirit does. He takes of the things of Christ and shows them unto us. What a gift, personal peace. My brothers and sisters, I don't know what's happening in your life and in the life of those in your assembly, but I find so many believers in the assemblies as I travel around who are terrified by this virus. They are so upset. They're so afraid they can't do this and can't do that and can't do the other thing. Wouldn't possibly think of any contact with anybody. There are some friends of mine who have stayed in their house for almost 2 years because of the virus. And all of this masks and vaccination and all of that stuff, is that of God? I said, all things work together for good. Why should we be so terrified by a virus when to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord is better than living here in this old world? Why should we be terrified? How many times does the Lord say, fear not, be of good cheer? He says it over and over and over again. Way back in the Old Testament, before the New Testament, before the coming of Christ, before the cross, before the resurrection, before the coming of the Holy Spirit, fear not, be of good cheer. We have peace with God. And what does he say in Ephesians chapter 2? He is our peace. I asked the young people just recently, can you lose your peace? And of course, there was a division among us. Some of them thought, oh, yeah, of course you can lose your peace. Yeah, brothers and sisters, you can't lose your peace. Maybe I should ask you this way. Can you lose Christ? And I don't hear you saying anything because you're not, you've been muted, and I'm sorry about that. But we have peace. He is our peace. If you can't lose Christ, you can't lose your peace. And think of the problems and difficulties and distresses and persecution that the disciples were going to go through in preaching the gospel around the world. They need peace. We are told in Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we continually have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A believer should never be filled with fear. It's disobedience. It's rejection of the promises of God. It's a result of being more concerned with the world and its politics than with Christ and his blessings. Let not your heart be troubled. That's the second time he has said that in chapter 14 and the first few verses. And now again in chapter 14 and verse 27. If you are desperately afraid, if you are filled with fear, if you're overcome with terror, that's of the enemy. First John says, perfect love casts out fear. Not my love for the Lord, but the Lord's love for me. To really soak my soul in the ocean of his love. Could we with ink the ocean fill, or were the sky of parchment made? You know that beautiful hymn that reminds us of the greatness of God's love. And if that love fills our mind, fills our heart, there'll be no room for fear. There'll be no room for anxiety. He says to me, let not your heart be troubled. He said, be anxious for nothing. He tells us that fear comes from the enemy. And so we have that. And then fifthly, in chapter 17 and verse 2, it says to us, we have eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never what perish. What is it that people want today? They want to live forever. They'll give the doctor their last 500 rupees if they can live a little longer. You know what God says, and God the Son has to say there in John chapter 17, eternal life. He gives us eternal life and everlasting life. You say to me, well, what's the difference? Well, eternal life is the life of God. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son doesn't have life. You know, John 3:16, then if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have everlasting life. But what does it say in John 3:15? It says that we will have eternal life. So the Bible uses both eternal life and everlasting life. Eternal life is the life of God. That's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the life of God. But I also have everlasting life because there was a time in my experience where I was in death. But when I believed the gospel, I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness and death into the kingdom of the Son of his love and life. I began to live. Instead of being dead in trespasses and sins, I began to have the life of God, eternal life. I began to live. That's everlasting life. And so the eternal life of John chapter 17 and verse 2 and the eternal life the chapter 3 and 15, we have both of those. They are ours. God gave to the disciples on that wonderful occasion, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. That's amazing. We may pass through death, but we'll never stay there. Because we're like the Lord Jesus Christ, who went into death, but he just passed through death and came out on the other side. But those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, those that we share the gospel with, when they die, they stay in death. There is no door. There's an entrance, but no exit. If they do not believe the gospel and are not born again, don't have the Holy Spirit, they will die. And that death is forever and ever. And then in chapter 17 and verse 8 and 14, we look at that and we realize again, the Lord Jesus has some special gifts to give to his disciples and they will need them. Chapter 17 and verse 8, he said, I have given to them the words which you gave me. Verse 14, I have given them your word. Aren't you glad? Aren't you? I mean, you should be so happy. You should be saying amen and hallelujah that you have a Bible. Somebody came to India to learn the languages. I didn't know. What was that song you sang? It looked to me like a bunch of just things are going across the page. But they were language. That was words to you. And somebody came to India and said, you need the gospel. You need the Bible. You need the New Testament and the Old Testament. And they committed themselves to study the language and learn the language and then translate the Bible into your language. What a gift. When was the last time you thanked God for the gift of the Word of God? What a gift. There are many people who have received that gift, but they don't open it. What would you think if you spent a lot of money on a gift and took it over to some friend? And you gave it to them beautifully wrapped in beautiful paper and ribbons and all of those things. And you left it for them. But you never heard. Did they open it? You never got a note saying thank you for the wonderful gift of whatever it was. So you go back to see them. And when you see them, you open the door and there on the table is your gift unopened. What would you think? You might be a very gracious person and say, well, I'll wait another few months and come back again. You would want to take it back, wouldn't you? Give it to somebody who really enjoyed it. The Apostle Paul says one of the characteristics of the end time is that there is unthankfulness. You have to teach your child to say thank you, don't you? He doesn't say it normally. You have to learn to say thank you. And so the wonderful gift of the Word of God, we haven't got time to look at it, but we will, and we will open that package and see what it is, this gift called the Word of God, that they are to learn. Then lastly, in verse 22, the glory which you have given me, I have given them. The glory that belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is unique. He's a God-man, and his Father and God himself imposed upon him his own glory. He said, I've given it to you. Have you said to God the Father, thank you for the glory that you have given me? Have you thanked God as the giver of every good and perfect gift? Have you said, thank you for the glory that you've given me? The glory that the Father gave the Son has given to us. Doesn't mean that your face glows. It doesn't mean that there's a halo on your head, but the graces of Christ show through you. And people know that you've been with the Lord Jesus Christ and learned of him. Seven gifts. I hope you made a list, because the next prayer that you pray should include a wonderful example. Nobody in all of this world has given you a perfect example to follow. A commandment to obey. It's not a matter of love the lovely and don't love the unlovely. It's a matter of loving all. For God so loved the world. And we are to love the same way the Lord Jesus Christ loved. And the Comforter, have you thanked God for the Comforter? Have you listened to him this morning? Did he speak to you when you opened the Word of God? And you said, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for words of encouragement and comfort and challenge and correction. Have you thanked him for the peace that passes all understanding, so that I don't need to be anxious for anything? Did you thank him for life, eternal life? Because if you don't have the life of God, you don't have salvation, because he is our Savior. Did you thank him for the Word of God? That precious book, get to know it, read it, lean not on your own understanding, but lean on the Word of God, love the Word of God, live the Word of God, and then the glory that God gave to the Lord Jesus Christ, he has given to us to manifest and to reveal. And so that's our study for today. I hope it gives you something to give thanks, and though you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, a wonderful list of things that should fill your mind and your heart with all of the blessings. And the disciples on that day of Pentecost, they realized and recognized these amazing gifts. Well, I think our time is gone. Thank you for joining us.